This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb in for Jane Lindholm. Dr. Mark Nelson is the chair of the pharmacology department at UVM, and for his research into blood flow to the brain, he was elected in late April to the National Academy of Sciences. It's one of the highest honors for anyone working in the sciences. But even with such recognition, Dr. Nelson says he's still trying to understand what he calls a mystery about the brain, how our brain cells communicate to get blood, energy, and other vital resources to just the right place at precisely the right moment.
We would like to understand how blood flow is controlled. The brain is a just-in-time machine. It has no nutrients, and so it's vitally dependent upon blood being delivered to active neurons moment to moment. So as you look at me, the part of your brain that controls vision is working, and those neurons, nerve cells, are working, and they need blood, oxygen, and glucose immediately. So that happens. Blood's directed there. You nod your head. Then blood's directed to that part of the brain. These vital resources are being redirected within seconds throughout your whole brain for decades to supply fuel to the active neurons. How this happens is a mystery.
Dr. Nelson's research is advancing our understanding of this mystery and also our understanding of what happens when these processes break down as we age or as a result of genetic mutations or due to small vessel diseases of the brain that underlie issues like strokes, dementia, and cognitive decline. Dr. Nelson spoke with Jane Lindholm about understanding the intricate machinery of the brain and about his election to the National Academy of Sciences.
Brain is 2% of your body weight. It uses 20% of your energy. The nerve cells are electrically active, so that means that they're consuming lots of energy. And you have about 1,000 miles of blood vessels in your brain. And the majority of blood vessels, what's called a capillary, the smallest of all blood vessels, and it's composed of one type of cell called the endothelial cell. It's in proximity to every nerve cell in your brain. If you just can imagine 1,000 miles of blood vessels in your brain, and imagine all the cells that line the blood vessels are electrically coupled. We call it the shadow nervous system because it's an electrical system that shadows the electrical activity of the neurons moment to moment, day in and day out. So when a neuron's active, it sends signals to nearby blood vessels, which are electrically coupled, to turn them on to send a signal to the surface of the brain to open up the arteries and to deliver blood within seconds.
So in terms of the applications of your work, you mentioned that some of the problems as we age and some of the problems with a brain that's not functioning well when it comes to how it's telling the blood flow where to go and when and how much is that it can lead to strokes, it can lead to dementia. So what are the applications for your research of knowing how all of this works to then helping with those types of medical conditions?
I think we're at the sort of the dawn of being able to direct blood and correct deficits in blood flow in the brain. Small vessel diseases of the brain, most of the forms are characterized by deficits in control of blood flow in the brain early in the disease process.
Is that because once you've had that deficit for long enough, some things are irreversible even if you were able to sort of turn on that electrical system?
That's the question. Are they irreversible and do they change with activity? You know, for example, if you don't use it, you lose it, don't know. Some of the disorders that we study, the genetic ones, we can correct the deficit in blood flow. We know the molecular pathway. We published this recently. And we can correct the deficit blood flow. We can correct it within minutes. And the question is, if you correct it early on, what does it do to the ultimate pathology and cognitive decline? We have a model of small vessel disease. It's called CADASIL. It's more than 50,000 people. So there are monitors that have CADASIL. The genetic form is a window into the very common sporadic forms of small vessel disease. This genetic form, we see that the delivery of blood to active regions of the brain is compromised. In the mouse model with the human mutation, with the same proteins that accumulate in the human, and then our colleagues in France have patients that have CADASIL because of the dominant gene mutation. And they have a deficit early in life too. So we've been able to now find ways to what goes on, what are the key proteins, and been able to correct the deficit in blood flow. So the next step would be, what's the impact on the progression of cognitive decline and dementia? Don't know. Other issues, there are other circumstances where you definitely want to increase blood flow, and a more common, larger ischemic stroke where a blood clot lodges in a brain artery and part of the brain dies. There's an area around that, in the part that is dead, where the neurons are hanging on for life. So if we can use the same ideas and concepts, understanding the physiology would be then to direct the blood vessels to deliver blood to that damaged region and not someplace else, and do it right there at the spot, not in a distant location. So those are some of the really big, important implications. But, you know, I would like to say, Jane, the first step is knowing enough about the physiology, the normal behavior, before trying to sort this out. It's like a big puzzle, and now we've got enough pieces of the puzzle in so we start seeing things start becoming clear, and the techniques improve, and you have to really go with them, and we develop some of them too. So you have to be at the forefront. It's like it's not just you can read an article and say, I'll buy this off the shelf or something like that.
Right. Is your research more focused on how to repair damage that's already been done from either a disease that's genetic or something like a stroke or like like dementia, which also I know in some cases can have genetic components? Or are you also looking at applications for how to prevent something like a stroke, how to prevent dementia from beginning in the first place? I mean, does your research have applications in both directions, or is it more to the after-the-fact kind of?
No, I mean, usually brain disease or any disease is a long-term – it's a long process. And often we see things that are at the end of life, and so being able to not only know how things work or have some insights into it and to be able to change those things early on, that's the really key thing. There's applications in helping stroke survivors do better, of course, but it'd be better not to have the stroke. So,
yeah. I mean, it almost sounds like you're sort of mapping the brain and mapping the processes in the brain.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all these researchers around the world can take what is known now about how the brain functions and how blood flow through the brain functions and then create other applications from that.
Yeah, we're developing basically a three-dimensional map of what the vasculature is and how it relates to all the neurons. And we have genetically encoded calcium sensors in the different cell types in the brain. And we can map this and we can look at this in four dimensions and three dimensions over time and see how all the signaling is happening. There's calcium signals all the time, which means they're releasing substances all the time onto the adjacent neurons and astrocytes. And it's either chaos or it's a homeostatic process in four dimensions that we don't really understand. That's critical for life.
Do you ever just sit back and think, holy smokes, this is amazing that human brains can do all of this?
Oh, yeah. But I look at a single cell, it's amazing what it can do.
So you still have that sense of wonder, even though you spend all of this time sort of in the nitty-gritty, you can still step back and say, wow.
Well, we look at things. Parts of our programs have clinical components, and we go from single molecules to making measurements in living brains, basically. And it's all amazing, and we're just scratching the surface.
So this research that we've been talking about that you've spent your career doing is part of what got you elected to the National Academy of Sciences. And in the UVM press release making known your election to the Academy, the College of Medicine Dean, Richard Page, said that it's among the greatest honors that a biomedical researcher can receive. Did you know you were going to get this recognition, or was it a surprise?
No, it wasn't a surprise. The chair of physiology, Dave Warshaw, he started behind the scenes a decade ago talking to colleagues of mine that are in the National Academy. You have to be nominated to a section. One I was nominated to was physiology and pharmacology. They get about one person in per year. The person that nominated me and the people that are supporting me that are in the academy told me that's going to happen probably this year. So, But, you know, I was at the National Institutes of Health about to give a talk when a friend, colleague sent me a text, "Where is Professor Nelson?" Hint, he's in the National Academy. The vote was just concluded.
Oh, wow.
And then I had to give a talk at the National Institutes of Health. And like, I was like buzzing. I wasn't sleeping very much the days before their meeting. And I was like 3 miles away because I was in D.C. at the NIH. And then I wasn't sleeping after the meeting. If I can put in, sum it up, I think it's one of my colleagues that it's certainly a great honor for me. It's a really great honor for my colleagues and my lab over past and present and the state of Vermont. Vermont is now on the map that, you know, we have, not just me, but I know other people that could have been and should be in the academy. And somehow it's like, well, you know, it's not in Boston or not in San Francisco. Well, that's changed. So that's a really good thing.
Well, Dr. Nelson, thank you very much for sharing a little bit about your research with us, and congratulations on this achievement.
Thanks so much. Thanks for taking the time.
That was VPR's Jane Lindholm speaking with UVM researcher Dr. Mark Nelson.